Just three short scriptures, dear friends. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Reading from verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God tried Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, Isaac, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and there offer him up for a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And then Romans chapter 8, epistle to the Romans chapter 8, and verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who against us? He who, yea, has not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him grant us all things? And then finally in the first epistle to John, chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 11. In fact, we read from verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God has so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Just want to speak a few simple words, dear friends, about love. God's love and the love of Jesus and your love. You know, love is a very powerful thing. It's the greatest thing in the universe, in one sense. And yet in the world, in films and novels and magazines, it's not spoken of fully, is it? It's very often weak and sentimental. But we're not speaking tonight in the glad tidings of feelings or sentiments, but something that's tangible and real. And what impressed me, dear friends, tonight, is love hurts. I think there was a song, a pop song in the 70s. I'm old enough to remember it. Love hurts. And that's what I want you to get hold of tonight, that love hurts. We feel pain in many different ways, don't we? If I drop a hammer on my toe, that hurts. Sometimes it's not so violent. Even a paper cut can hurt terribly, can't it? But then there's not only the physical, but there's all sorts of hurt. People do things to one another, to be misunderstood, mistreated. People can be very hurtful, can't they? So it's not just physical things, but emotional. Love hurts. And why did I say that ultimately, you know? I want you to look at the cross. Genesis 22 is a picture to us of the love of God. And his feelings. God is love. We know that. And I can say that to you tonight, that God is love. And it's true. But how do you know it? If I just stop there, it could be just a picture on the wall. But dear friend, the point of the glad tidings is that God has demonstrated his love in the most wonderful way. I think it's very affecting, isn't it? In Genesis chapter 22. Take now thy son, thine only son. There was only one. Think of Jesus, you know. Who was he? Just a good man? Just a teacher? A prophet? A healer? He was the Son of God. Never had man spoken like him. He was unique, totally unique. Why? Because he was God, manifest in the flesh. I can't begin to describe God's feelings, you know, as he saw Jesus walking on this earth. One of our hymns says, doesn't it? Every footstep gave him fresh delight. Think of how pleasing Jesus was to God. He did everything pleasing to the Father. And yet that perfect man, that unique, alone man, was to go into a path of suffering and death. Take now thy son, thine only son. Because if ever salvation was to be secured, if God was to come out in blessing to you and me, it required a sacrifice. Because God is holy and just, and sin cannot be brushed under the carpet. It needs to be dealt with. It needs to be cleared. It needs to be atoned for, to be paid for. And that's why there's a picture here of sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. That is a divine principle. Take now thy son, thine only son. What it meant to God. That's why there's a question that we sung at the beginning, and I want you to answer it tonight. What was it, blessed God? Why did God do that? What was it, blessed God, that moved him in that way? Abraham here, he loved his son. And he was prepared to go all the way. I think it's very affecting. I think Genesis chapter 2 is one of the most affecting chapters in the Bible. It just gives you a glimpse, a picture of the love of God. If only I could convey to you tonight, dear friend, the love of God. How great it is, how strong it is. For you and for me. And to show you that God would stop at nothing. Stop at nothing in order that you might be blessed. In order that your sins might be forgiven. In order that you might have eternal life. What a message this is in a world of such sorrow and darkness and violence. And yet this is a message which every man needs to hear. And you need to hear it tonight, dear friend. We know the story if you read the whole chapter. If you don't know it, I recommend you read the whole chapter. Isaac was spared. And that's another picture I don't want to get into now. But a substitute was found. Shows the obedience of Abraham as a man. But in the type, I just wanted to convey to you the love of God and the fact he was prepared to go the whole way. In the story, a substitute was provided. But when it comes to Jesus, there was nothing to substitute. He had to go that way. There was nothing else. There was no alternative. And you know, in the world tonight, in religions, this man has many alternatives. Tonight in the gospel, I can tell you there is no alternative to the giving of Jesus. God, who spared not his own son. That's what it says when we get to Romans. Chapter 8. Starts off here by saying, if God be for us. It's a wonderful thing to realize tonight, you know, that God is for you. Yes, he's holy. He hates sin. But he's for you in the glad tidings. He wants to bless you. You know, people who do not know God, don't read the Bible, turn their back on him. They think God is hard. You know, there's a man in the parable, wasn't there? He said, I knew that thou art a hard man. They didn't understand the heart of God. And many tonight, dear friend, do not understand the heart of God. But tonight in the glad tidings, we can say, God has made himself known in the person of Jesus. God is for you. If you only turn to him. Yes, if you reject him tonight, dear friends, then judgment awaits you. Make no mistake. It's no good painting a rosy picture in the glad tidings in that sense, because this is an offer of salvation. If you reject it, if you turn your back on it, then there's nothing left but judgment. But at this present time, as this day of salvation, God is for you. Why? How has he demonstrated that he's for you? Well, quite simply it says here, he, yea, has not spared his own son, but delivered him up. Do you just think for a moment of what that means? Delivered him up. There was Jesus, perfect, doing good. Every moment of the day, you know. How many times he healed people. Throughout the whole day and through the night. You think of that picture, it says in one of the Gospels, at sunset they all came. All the people came to him. And he healed them all. What blessing. What goodness. You read that psalm of Mr. Darby's, Man of Sorrows. You just see the perfection and the goodness and the love of Jesus. And yet God allowed him to be taken by wicked men. He was led, it says, as a lamb to the slaughter. You think of that, Jesus, the Son of God, God himself. And yet he was led by the hand, led as a lamb to the slaughter. Here it says he was delivered. God allowed him to go that way. Why was it that God could come out in blessing for you and for me? What wonderful love is that, dear friend? It's greater than I can understand. And yet it's real. We live in a world where so much is phony and fake and false and unreal and it's not tangible. Dear friend, tonight we're dealing with solemn realities, things that are true. We're speaking in the reading, weren't we, about truth. And we live in a world of half-truth. What we present in the glad tidings from God's word is absolutely true. It says here, he's not spared his own son. Doesn't that affect you? I don't care, you might be the most hardened sinner. You might be the one who's turned your back on God. You might feel hopeless and helpless. Surely this will affect you to know that whatever your state, God is for you. And he's loved you so much that he's not spared his only beloved son. He could have taken him down from the cross. It's often been said, isn't it? I'm only repeating what's been said, but it wasn't the nails that held Jesus to the cross, but his love for you and me. And think of the feelings of God. This is something I just thought tonight impressed me. The cost it was to God, his only beloved son. He spared him not, but delivered him up. Delivered him. Gave him. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave. How wonderful this is, you know, against a backdrop of a world which is full of violence. And it's getting worse, isn't it, day by day. You just think of the state of things in the world at the present time. What hope is there? Where can men run to? Surely this is the only answer, that God is for you and he loves you so much that he's delivered his only beloved son. And it says, not only that, but how shall he not also with him grant us all things? What a wonderful God we have. A giving God. One that would give you everything you need for your blessing. What are those all things? I can't begin to run through them tonight. I wouldn't have the capacity. But he's given you the forgiveness of sins, hasn't he? He's given you the gift of the Holy Spirit, that wonderful person who comes to live in your heart so that I know that I'm saved. I know that I have a link with the man in the glory. Someone who went to Calvary's cross, shed his precious blood, but is now alive. More than ever, I know that's a reality. that Jesus is alive, and because of that, everyone that trusts in him is safe. They're safe. They're with him. Wonderful reality these things are, dear friend. And you can have that hope too. Everyone that puts their trust in the Lord Jesus has that wonderful hope. How shall he not with him? It's with him. Everything is bound up with Jesus. If I have him, I have everything. If you don't have him, dear friend, you have nothing. A Christless eternity. I feel so sorry for these people fleeing out of Ukraine. Without any hope, seemingly. What a world we live in. And yet, you know, if you have your trust in Jesus, there's a blessed hope that the world can't touch. Nothing can touch. Paul goes on to say at the end of this chapter that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Death or hell or angels, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a hope, what a blessing. And it was all at the cost of the giving of Jesus. What it cost God. What was it? Blessed God. It was his love for you and me. And not only that, but he's given us all things. What a wonderful position the believer is, you know. What a privilege, what a blessing. Don't take it for granted. Dear friend, tonight, as you hear the glad tidings once again, if you're not a believer, then I would say, turn to him now. Repent of your sin now. Put your trust and faith in this wonderful Saviour now. Because tomorrow is not assured. We've been reminded again of the brevity of life, the solemnity of it. Do not take for granted tomorrow. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus now. But then he's coming again, and he will put all things right. He's coming for every believer, but then he's coming back to this poor earth, you know. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? We know the answer. The world has no answer to the current problems. No answer at all. You and I, as believing in Jesus, have the answer right here. We know that Jesus is coming back to put everything right. What a wonderful Saviour. Then, you know, God's faith, as it were, God's trust in that blessed man will be revealed. He's not misplaced, because that man that was led to Calvary's cross is going to be the very same man that rules this world. The government is going to be on his shoulder. Mm-hmm. You know? What a wonderful place that will be. What a wonderful world that will be. The government will be on his shoulder. When he'll be known as the Father of Eternity, the Counselor, the Prince of Peace. You can know that blessed person tonight as your Saviour and your Lord. Dear friend, I just hope tonight that you might have a fresh impression of the love of God and the love of Jesus. And to end, dear friend, God requires a response from you. If you've felt the love of God tonight, if you've felt the love of Jesus, what are you to do? He made the first move. You know, you need to just respond. It's cost God everything to give Jesus. It's cost Jesus everything to give his life. What's it cost you? Only your pride. Just your pride, that's all. I would ask you to come to the foot of the cross tonight. There's a hymn, we don't sing it very often, but it says, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Tonight, dear friend, may you take your place there if never before. And what is your response? I just read in John here, it says, if God has so loved us, we ought to love one another. And where I started, it says, herein is love, not that we love God. In our sins, we can never love God. We've done everything against him. We've turned our back. But he took the initiative. That's part of the story of the glad tidings, that God has taken the initiative. He made the first move. Not that we love God as a sinner, as unredeemed. I did not love God, but he loved me. Paul says in Romans, you know, that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet sinners, while I was in that state, he sent his son. Christ died for us. How wonderful that is. Didn't just love me as a Christian, as a believer. He loved me when I was unlovely, when I was sinful, hateful, boastful, proud. He loved me then. While I was in that state, Christ died for me. But John says, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And then he says he sent his son for our sin, a propitiation for our sins. And then he says, if God has so loved us, we ought to love one another. What a wonderful response, you know. If we're saved, if we belong to Jesus, if we've experienced for ourselves the love of God, then there is a response towards God and towards one another. It's wonderful, you know, to know the love of God's people, to know the love of the brethren. It's a wonderful thing, dear friend. But it's just a reflection of the love of God. May you and I, as we experience, maybe once again, the love of God and the love of Jesus, may we respond with praise and worship to him, and to be motivated to be more committed to him. And it's maybe demonstrated in our love for God, our love for the Lord Jesus, our love for one another, and our love for men too. You know, just as we see just what the world is going through, surely our hearts would be affected, and we would cry for men, we would feel for them, and want them to be saved and come into the same blessings that we enjoy. Well, these are just a few thoughts, but I just wanted to be impressed once again by the wonderful love of God. What was it, blessed God? The heart of God made known in the gospel. May we respond to it for his name's sake. Amen.